This is Evangelist George McTyre, the Word of God Ministry, coming to you again with part two of the message that I started, basically in part one, which is taken from the New Testament Bible scripture, Matthew chapter number 7, verses 3-5. And it is worded in the King James Version this way: "And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, Let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye." The subject for this message is, it's not them, it's us. When I left off last month, I said I would go deeper into our problems and explain why Jesus said we need to see clearer before we try to correct our brother. This all stems from the fact that unless you can see the whole picture, have all of the evidence, you will not be able to arrive at the correct decision about any situation. Now, in our case, we form opinions about things based on what those that we look to for guidance, mainly preachers, tell us. We do this because this is supposed to be a person that is being directed by God. But here again is one of those beams that's in our eyes. We come to this conclusion based on the amount of education, in other words, degrees, titles, and such that the person may have. Or it might be their popularity in our community. If they have a reputation of doing good, then if they decide to become a minister, they have our full support. As I mentioned last month, this is good if the person is going into some kind of a business venture, you know, having the education and the degrees and all that other stuff. However, it is a disaster when you apply that same logic to ministry, because ministry is a holy calling from God. You don't choose to be a man of God. He chooses what you will be. As I've said many times before, God doesn't call those that are prepared or that have prepared themselves. He prepares those that he has called. This is the big difference in our thinking, you know, because last time I was telling you about in a business, when you're running a business, if you want the business to be successful, you basically give the customer or supplier whatever the customer wants. You want to meet the customer's needs to get your business going and to, you know, make big profits and so forth. In ministry, that's not the way it goes. Ministry and such is not a business. It's, like I said, a holy calling from God. And you have to run it based on what God says he wants you to do and not what the people want you to do. But anyway, let's get back to our message. I got a little distracted there. We think that the more educated a person is, the more they know about God and what is right and wrong. We also think the more liked or loved that an individual is, the more likely God has his hand on them. Nothing can be further from the truth. If you will recall, there is another entity that the Bible speaks of that is being totally ignored, and he likes it that way. I'm talking about Satan. You see, if we ignore him, then he can continue to wreak havoc on us, and we will either blame God or our brothers. I'm reminded of an old cartoon where there are two guards guarding the entryway to a palace. And as they marched back and forth in front of it, there would be times when their backs would be turned to each other. There was an enemy that wanted to get into the palace, but he was unarmed. So what he did was, when the guards had their backs toward each other, he would throw a rock and hit one of them in the back of the head. With no one in sight, that person would think that his partner did it. On the next pass, the enemy did the same thing to the other guard. This led to a fight between the two, which led to both of them basically disabling each other so the enemy could just walk right on in. This is the same scenario Satan is using today to get us on, fighting our brothers. And when I'm talking about brothers, I'm not only talking about other blacks, I'm talking about whites, especially whites, basically because that's where the problems that we're having comes in, when we are blaming somebody for what's happening to us when it's not really them that's doing it. But anyway, if you look at it, everything that goes wrong in our lives, we are looking for someone to blame. And as is the primary target, we blame whites first. Problem is, we don't even realize one major fact, and that is, we all have the same parents, Adam and Eve. This means we are all brothers and sisters. Realistically speaking, I don't personally know anyone that is white or black. Now let me explain this. If I take a white piece of paper and hold it against what you consider a white person, I should not be able to tell the difference between where the paper ends and their skin begins. By the way, the same thing goes for blacks and a black piece of paper. I'm not going to get into the race thing here, but suffice it to say, if you look at the evidence that is common knowledge, scientifically backed, whites, or what you would call whites, were here first. Anyway, as I was saying, the black community has no business trying to straighten out, blame, or punish any other community given all the evil that we perpetrate on ourselves and against God. I gave you two examples in part one with Don Imus and Trayvon Martin. However, that is only the tip of the iceberg. We have no respect for ourselves, yet we demand everyone else's respect. What kind of asinine logic is that? And worse yet, we have no respect for God and His laws, yet we want to call ourselves His people. Not only that, but we imply that He thinks of us more highly than all others, especially whites. The fact that we try to draw Him into our mess is one of the main reasons for our problems. Romans chapter number 1, verse number 23 says this, "And they changed," well, I put the word "they" in there, "and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into the image like unto corruptible man, and to birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things." This is talking about unregenerated mankind that had gotten so far away from God that they began to but basically what it's saying is the scripture is saying that we are trying to make God to be like us. And leading the way are black preachers, because it is their influence and position in the community that gets us to think like that. As a result, God leads us to our own imaginations, and the result is what you see on the news every single day. Hundreds of us can be murdered every day by another in our community, and black preachers and organizations like Black Lives Matter are nowhere to be found. But you let one white citizen or police officer injure or kill one of us, which happens about twice a month, if that, and these people come out of the woodwork and raise all types of hell, calling the person a racist. In the case of police, they have started a movement to get this. Get rid of them, the police, by defunding them. Many of these black preachers hold to the idea that once a racist, always a racist. My question is, if you truly believe that, then why is it you throw all your support behind a political party that was founded on racism? Hypocrites. Martin Luther King Jr., Malcolm X, John F. Kennedy, Abraham Lincoln, and others, all highly regarded by the black community in their battle to free the slaves from the bonds of captivity and poverty, were all assassinated by leadership of this party, and yet you say we need to support them? Hypocrites. You say they have changed. Have you noticed that in every city where they have had control for decades, like Detroit, Michigan, the public schools, I'm talking about Democrats and liberals, and blacks, have had control of public schools in neighborhoods that are primarily black, that these schools are graduating kids that are far behind in educational levels than other kids in other neighborhoods? And when someone says parents need to have a choice to send their kids to better schools that are in better neighborhoods or private or parochial schools with a proven track record of producing kids graduating that are college ready, you come out and say that's taking money away from the teachers in those public schools. Hypocrites. You are saying you care more about the teachers and their well-being than your own children's future. Hypocrites. Then you complain that your kids can't get a decent paying job and want to force the jobs that pay them only, the only jobs that they're qualified for, like Burger King, McDonald's, Walmart, and other things like that. You want to demand that these jobs and things pay them better wages. And since this took place several decades ago, those kids are now, guess what? Parents. And as some of the schools have improved their standards, there is another problem. And that is, when their kids come home with homework, these undereducated parents can't help their children because of their poor education. So essentially, you end up with the same result: failing kids, all because of black preachers in leadership. Another one of our problems is unforgiveness. Jesus tells us in Matthew chapter 6, verses 14 and 15, "For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive you your trespasses." Notice, I'm going to repeat that again, but if you forgive not men their trespasses or the things they've done wrong against you, neither will your Father in heaven, talking about God, neither will he forgive you your trespasses when you be asking him to forgive you for things. How many of us today, or how many of you today, are holding anger and resentment against whites today for something their parents or ancestors did 50 or more years ago, let alone going all the way back over 450 years? And you claim to love the Lord and want him to bless you? Hypocrites. In the eyes of the world, no less, the black community in this nation is a laughingstock. Here we are supporting a political party whose main agenda is to keep us under their feet, even though all of the evidence to this is right in front of our eyes. In other words, we are doing this, and all of the evidence is showing we're basically shooting ourselves in the foot, or what they also say, cutting off your nose to spite your face and stuff. They kill off, talking about this party, they kill off anyone that is a threat to that end, or they will use one or more of us to achieve it. In other words, talking about that end of keeping us under their feet. Now, the presidency of Barack Obama is a good example of this. While most blacks cheered the swearing-in of our first black president, most liberals were cheering too. Why? The reason being, his election opened the door for them to get our support in doing something they had tried to do under Bill Clinton, but failed. They wanted to get control of the single biggest sector of our nation's economy, the healthcare industry. They tried to do it under Clinton, but failed because the black community didn't trust Clinton. They knew they wasn't going to get a chance to do that under George Bush when he got elected. However, at the end of Bush's second term, Hillary ran for the office but was convinced to let a black person or a black man take the lead. They figured if they couldn't get blacks to support Bill in their endeavor, then putting his wife would no doubt end up with the same result. So what happens? Barack Obama was nominated, and blacks came out of the woodwork to vote for him, and he won. And what was the first thing he did? Reform the healthcare industry. When he couldn't get certain things passed, you know what he did? He issued executive orders, all of which were met with approval of blacks and liberals, including these black preachers. As you can see, the party with the history of racism has no problem using a black person to achieve something that will give them more control over us. Hypocrites. And why can't those black preachers see this? Because the door to God is closed to them. As a result, we have the scripture found in Matthew chapter 15 and verse number 14 that says, "Let them alone. They be blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind lead the blind, both will fall into the ditch." Now, in this last election, the current president, Joe Biden, chose a black woman as VP to help him win the election by getting blacks to support him because of her. Prior to Jimmy Carter being elected in 1976, blacks were seeing their economic conditions improve as many poor blacks from the South came up north and got good paying jobs in the auto and other plants, automobile and other plants, you know, up here in the North. They were buying new cars and houses, and the racist whites in the South didn't like seeing blacks having a higher income than them. What happened next is a lesson for us to learn from. Carter got in office and began putting in special regulations that were designed to destroy the automobile industry by making the vehicles meet emission standards, which forced the price of the average car to nearly double. At the same time, foreign automakers whose vehicles met those standards were invited to bring their plants to the U.S. And where did they build these plants? In the racist southern states after most blacks had moved to the north. Not only that, but those automakers did not have to pay union scale because they did not have to have unions. The end result was most blacks lost those good paying jobs when those automobile plants began to close down, and the suppliers of the parts and things, you know, there's a ripple effect through all of those plants and things, forcing all of them basically to shut down. And what happened is, if we look and see where things are, we're almost back like we were back then, back on the government assistance with the liberals in control. If you want to cry systemic racism, then you are supporting the very people that put it in place. Hypocrites. It's time for us to get some new leaders. Leaders who have the favor of God, or else we are doomed. It is us that are our problem, and not whites. Hopefully in part three I will close this message giving you a more serious problem that we face thanks to these black leaders.